Psalms chapter number 34. Chapter number 34. Thank you, everybody, for being here. I appreciate you coming to the house of the Lord today. And let's just pray that the Lord will help us today. Amen. Psalms 34, we'll start reading with verse number 1. We'll read 9 verses down through here, a great psalm. The Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I'll just like it, church. We expounded this about a month ago. I like the fact that we can bless the Lord in the good times. We can bless the Lord in the not so good times. We can bless the Lord when we got money in our pocket. We can bless the Lord when we're flat broke and can't pay the light bill. I'm glad, thank God, it ain't based on our circumstances. Hallelujah. We can bless the Lord at all times. Amen. It ain't based on me. It's based on Him, and He's just worthy. Hallelujah. He said, His praise, thank God, shall continually be in my mouth. You know how you do that? The same way that we said Wednesday night. How do you walk in the Spirit? The first step to walking, you got to take a step in order to start walking. You got to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Amen. You want to know how you continuously can have the praise of the Lord in your mouth? You just keep looking unto Jesus. Amen. I tell you, get your eyes off of this whole world and get your eyes on Him. You can't help but to come out with some kind of praise. Amen. Can't help but to say something good about the Lord Jesus Christ if you just keep your eyes on Him. Amen. I like it. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble. Shall hear thereof and be glad. You know what, man? I found out that people that love the Lord rejoice in your testimony. It makes other people glad to hear you brag on Jesus. It sure does. It helps the people around you. He said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Hey, let's gather around. Hey, I like it, man. Once a week, let's just come in here and gather around each other and make much of Jesus. How about that? Man, I'm telling you, Ted Cruz ain't got nothing from me. Donald Trump ain't got nothing from me. But I'm glad there's a King of glory. Hallelujah. He's everything to me. I want to make much of Him. I want to put the spotlight on Him for a while. You hear? I like that. And so let's magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me. Ain't that a blessing? And He delivered me from all my fears. They looked upon Him, unto Him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, one of my favorite verses. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I thank that we ought to reverence the Lord. I think that we ought to honor the Lord. And I think that we ought to worship the Lord.
That covers pretty much all them perverted Greek definitions. But I tell you what I think we're to do. I think we're to stand in awe of the Lord. I think we ought to stand in fear of a holy God that can hold the world in the palm of His hand, that can turn us over for the destruction of our flesh. We ought to stand in fear that at any time God has the ability and would be right if He wanted to say, I'm done. I stand in fear of a holy God, and I mean fear. That's right, friend. I don't serve Him out of fear. I serve Him, hallelujah, out of gladness. But I'm telling you, I stand in fear of the Lord. Zach, if you will, pray for us, please.
Dear Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the precious Word of God. We thank You for the house of God. Lord, we thank You for the songs that You've allowed us to sing. God, we thank You, dear Lord, for another day of being alive. Dear God, we pray. Dear Lord, that You'd help this service today. Dear God, I pray that You would touch our pastor. Dear God, I pray that You would help him. Dear God, I pray that You'd fill him with the Holy Ghost. I pray, dear God, that he would be cool. Dear Lord, I pray that You'd help him. God, that I might get help and my wife might get help. God, that the people of this church might get help.
Help my home
today, God. That's what we need. Our homes need help from Almighty God. Lord, Satan's out to devour our homes. Satan's out to devour our children. Satan is out to devour sinner souls. God, I pray, dear God, that You would do exactly what You want done in the service today. God, I pray that we would not grieve the Holy Spirit.
No.
God, that we would not quench the Spirit.
Help us, God.
Dear God, I pray that, dear God, that You'd have Your way in the services today. God, I pray for each and every individual. God, we need You today. God, America needs You. God, this church needs You. God, our county needs You. God, the homes around this church need You. God, I pray that You'd help us today. Dear God, I pray that we'd be obedient to the Word of God. I pray our hearts would be prepared to hear the precious Word of God. God, help us today. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank God. That's right. I want to say, first of all, that I want to thank God that whatsoever is written in this blessed book that's lying in your lap this morning, you can take it to the bank, friend. I'm so glad this morning, really, it just overthrilled in my joy, in my soul, that we have a copy of the Word of God in our hands. You hear, I'm telling you, bud, the little multi-million-dollar fad that went around, what would Jesus do? Thank God everything Jesus would do is written in that book. I mean, what does Jesus think about it? Everything Jesus thinks about it is written in that book. You know, Zach, I've heard testimony after testimony about people being in an operating room or being in the emergency room and having some kind of an outer body experience or some kind of light flashing before them and God appearing to them. And we was out there in South Dakota, Steve, and we met that family with that little boy that supposedly levitated above his bed and wrote that book about spending the day with Jesus. And, I mean, it was all good and goosebumpy and emotional. But can I tell you something, friend? God don't speak like that. God don't show up in light. God don't show up at the end of a tunnel. God's going to show up in the blessed Word of God. And what He's got to say is written down in this book. And if it ain't in that book, it ain't God. I'm just trying to say I want to thank God this morning for the Word of God. I want to thank God that we've got a copy of what God thinks and what God says and what God has done and what He's going to do. And you can count on it being right. Amen. It's the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It's the infallible Word of God that we have this morning. You can count on it. You count on everything that it says. I've studied the commentaries, and one of the common problems that I have today is that I've steered away from the fall of man, the idea, the theory, all the little commentaries that are man-made. I'm telling you, that blessed book of God will commentate itself. God will tell you what's in there. I don't need the ideal of a man. I don't need the theory of America. I need the Word of God this morning, how to dictate to me how to run my life. Man, how to treat my friends, how to treat my wife. Sure. That's what it'll do, friend. I believe every period in the Bible. I believe the periods are right exactly where they ought to be. I believe the commas in the Bible. Do you understand that if you take some of the commas, I mean, you can lift one comma out of one verse in your Bible, you'll change over 2,500 years of history, friend. I believe in the commas. I believe in the page number. I believe the verse number, the chapter number. I believe in the titles and the subtitles. I believe everything about the Word of God. The preacher said a few weeks ago, the reason he believes that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, because his King James Bible said that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I like it. That's what I believe, what the Bible says. You can carry it to the bank, friend. I'm talking about what Psalms 34, David said, some things about the Lord, and whatever he said, you can count on it. It's just so. You understand that this blessed book is the most valuable and precious thing that we have in this life? Sure it is. The other week we looked at, or a month ago, whatever it was, and we looked at that phrase where David said, I will extol the name of the Lord. I mean, son, he said, I'm going to go above and beyond. I'm going to do everything I can do. I'm going to get plumb beside myself. I'm just going to get out of bounds with God. I'm going to go above and beyond everything I've ever... I'm going to do my dead level best and then some. I want to extol the name of the Lord. And this week we can see David starts this thing out, not with so much the word extol, but he said, I'm going to bless him now at all times. Man, well, you know, the only way that you can do that is by what we said in here Wednesday night. You bless the Lord by walking in the Spirit. What is that? That's just obeying the Word of God. That's doing what God said, friend. That's obeying the Scriptures. Hey, the great command, one of the great commands in the New Testament that ain't on the wall, that is under the grace, says walk in the Spirit. Guess what? If you'll walk in the Spirit, guess what? You will not do according to your Bible. You will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. The reason the lust of the flesh is being fulfilled, and the one and only reason, is because people are not walking in the Spirit. Can't do both. Can't do both. And so I appreciate the Word of God. Thank God for it. You know, Jesus, the Bible says, talking about the Word of God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What was the Word that became flesh? It was Jesus, right? Jesus is the Word. I like what Pilate said when he took him up there and he examined him. You know what Pilate did basically, Steve? He took and ransacked the Scriptures. He went from page to page, forward and backwards, up one side and down the other. And he searched the Scriptures. And this is what he come out of that back room and said. I can find no fault in him. I just kind of like the fact there ain't nothing wrong with the Word of God. Ain't nothing wrong with Jesus. I'll take him just like he is. I don't want plus nothing or minus nothing. Just give me Jesus, amen. Right, just leave him alone. Let's leave Jesus alone. I don't want to change anything. I don't want to correct it. I don't want to modernize him. I just want him just as he is. Amen. I like that Word of God, friend. That's Jesus. Do you hear me? When I hold that Bible in my hand, I'm holding the Son of God. When I hold the Bible in my hand, I'm holding the King of Glory. The little puny songwriter said, Mary, did you know? I got news for you, friend. There was an angel that showed up long before the lyrics did. And said, Mary, you're going to bring forth a child. And you call him Emmanuel, for he'll save his people from their sin. Yes, she knew. Yes, she knew, because the Word of the Lord had then told her what was going to happen in her life. Thank God for the Word of God. Appreciate that good book. I'm telling you, friend, you won't find nothing like it. You can search wide and far. You'll never find another book like this book. You'll never find another book that's been as persecuted, that's been attacked, that's been after by Satan like this book.
I'm telling you, bud, he can do what he wants to. You can gather all the people together. You can cuss it, deny it, and hate it, and reject it. But the word of God said it's forever settled in heaven. I'm telling you, friend, it don't matter what you do. You're not changing that book. Amen. Might as well take it like it is. I thank God for the word of God. David said, I'm going to bless the Lord. I tell you what we ought to do. We'll just bless the Lord. We'll take time. David didn't say, hey, listen, I'm going to gather a few folks around here that are saved. And I want the saved folks to bless the Lord. He said, let's all just kind of get around here and magnify the Lord together. I tell you what, I believe a saved man, a lost man, I believe anybody ought to be able to brag on Jesus. I think anybody ought to be able to say something good about God. I think we all ought to give him his due reverence. Sure. Saved and lost. And that's what you're here today. That's why you're here. There's people in this congregation, you're lost and you know you're lost. And you're here to honor God. And you're here to seek after God. And boy, I thank God for it because you came to bless him. Amen. Yes, sir. You being here does bless him because you're being obedient. Well, we had Jesus wrapped up in this leather binding, and I appreciate that. Well, we talked about David extolling him, and here he's talking about blessing him. You know, the only way you can do that is by walking in the Spirit. You do that by trusting him. How about this? I have confidence, and I wish that everybody could hear it. I have confidence that God can't sin. Right. I have the confidence that God cannot sin. God cannot lie. God can, whatever God does is all I'm trying to say. Whatever God does is going to be alright. Whatever God wants to do in my life, it's going to be good. Whatever God wants to do in your life, it's going to be for you good. God can't do no wrong. I used to pray, it may not be good English, but God can't do no wrong. He can't do no wrong. I serve a true and living God that never will do you wrong. Never will do you wrong. God will do no man wrong. I tell you, it's been a many of people blame God for a many of false things that God didn't have anything to do with. You listen to me and you listen well. Man, God, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. You hear me? God is a good God. He's a good God, friend, and whatever he does is good. He'll never do you nor anyone else wrong on planet Earth. Never has he done a man wrong. Our God, man, we've done him wrong. He's never done us wrong. It's a comfort to me just knowing that God can't lie. Sure it is. That means everything that God says he's going to do, he's going to do. Everything that God said he could do, he can do. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Did God say he could? He didn't just say he could. He did furnish one, amen. Is anything too hard for God? No, ain't nothing too hard for God. Nothing's impossible with him. God can do all things. Everything he said he was going to do, he's going to do. Amen. I got that confidence. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about, son, that confidence that I have in him helps me just bless the Lord and just have good praise in my mouth at all. To hear me? I'm telling you, but when the sun ain't shining and the clouds just rolled in, I'm telling you, thank be unto God. I know that there's a God in heaven that's doing everything he said he was going to do. And I can lift up my voice in the midst of a storm and say, praise God anyhow. Amen. This old boy this morning, I've had a few struggles. I don't know much about it. I really don't. I get to thinking about my struggles, and y'all know that I'm trying to help coach that high school team down there in Salisbury. And Zach, I get to thinking about my struggles, and then if I get to thinking I've been through a thing or two, I think about two or three kids on that ball team that just young boys, teenagers. I couldn't hold a candle to them. Oh, God help me. I look out on my kitchen. Probably ain't a very good coach because I sit over at night in a ball game. We was a coach in a ball game and the coach was getting on one of them players and I looked, I made a mistake. I looked into that boy's eyes and I seen her, son. I seen an emptiness there. I didn't see the Lord. I didn't see hope. I didn't see life. And my heart broke standing over there on the sideline. I thought, oh God, what can I do, Lord, to help him get to where you are? What can I do, Lord, to help this boy see the Lord Jesus in me? I'll tell you what, through our struggles, we've been through some struggles. There's some folks in this congregation been through some dark days, no doubt about that. These people in here got some hardships in their life. I'm telling you, we could take up the rest of the service and just have a sob story. And it'd be true. I mean, there's some sad stories up in here. Sure is. But right in the midst of all your hardships, if you'll just get your eyes off of you for a second, raise them up. There's a God in heaven that loves you. I don't care what comes your way. He sent his son to die for you. He loves you and he wants a good life for you. He wants to help you. He wants to aid you. He wants to take him. Hey, by his stripes we're healed. He wants to heal you up. That's our God, friend. He never done nobody wrong. Won't you look at verse number 8. Psalms 34:8 is where I want to draw from. And Psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I want to draw from that verse number 8. And let's look there, if you will. Let's look at verse number 8. I like using them Bible verses. He said, oh, taste the Lord and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Friend, we're going to go right on back to that blessed book. You're going to have to trust. What was that song we sung a while ago? Trust in what? Obey. Trust in him. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. I'm going to tell you something, but in order to enjoy God, you're going to have to learn to trust God. And I just spent about 10 minutes in opening this service to tell you that you can trust him. Whatever's written in that book, you can count on it. I'm going to bring this back up right here because it's a good place. When Jesus was on that cross, and he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And he became every sinner there ever was at that time on the cross. And at that time on the cross when he became every sinner there ever was, God the Father had, he gave up that spirit of the law of Christ which was in Christ Jesus. Became sin for us, Zach. That we might be made the righteousness of God through him. In him. By him. I'm telling you about Jesus Christ. You can count on everything that he's ever said he would do. Everything he said he would do, he's going to do. David said this. I got off track, but David said, you taste the Lord and see, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you're here today and you're saved by the grace of God, you've tasted that the Lord Jesus Christ is good. You hear me? If you're here today and you're saved by the grace of God, you have tasted and seen that the Lord was good. You tasted and seen that the Lord is good. If you're saved, you have seen the goodness of God. Sure you have. Ever since I got saved, I've been tasting and seeing. Now, there's been days, friend, where I got a million miles from God, but I tell you, as a whole, from the time I got saved into this, thank you, Jesus. John and I was this morning laying in my bed. Listen to me, church. I was laying in that bed, and it was a happy day in my life this morning, Steve, when my eyes opened up. And I realized and I gained my consciousness and I realized I have an opportunity. I'm not putting on. I'm not being a phony. This is real to me. When I gained my consciousness this morning and everything, I got my wits about me. There was joy in my soul because I said, man, I get to get up this morning and go sit at the feet of Jesus. Mama, I'm telling you, I was so happy, thank God, to get up this morning and be able to go, not because I was going to church, but so I could have that fellowship with him, because by the grace of God, we'll do it tomorrow too. Look forward to it. Look forward to it. Amen.
Change a thing. Good.
Since I've got saved, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just trying to tell you I've tasted and I have seen the goodness of God. I've seen the goodness of God. I don't know if you've wasted time as I did and just this week. Listen to me. I don't know if you were so stupid to do what I did this week. I sat in and wasted my time and watched a bunch of effeminate freaks debate for the lead to be the leader of the free world. I watched grown men act like a bunch of stinking little baby-fied, sissy-fied brats and then stand and try to tell me they want to be my president. I was so ashamed to even consider myself a Republican after watching that. I was so ashamed of the leaders of our country. I thought, oh my God, what a mess we're in. I'm telling you, I went to bed disheartened that night. My heart was broken. I begged God to have mercy on the United States of America. Help us to get back to where we ought to be. But I got some good news, hallelujah. When I woke up the next morning, it wasn't about a presidential debate. There was a living Christ sitting up in the living room, and he had an open invitation how to gather me around his feet and let me worship him one more time. Thank God, son, I didn't go to work discouraged and defeated in the downfall of a nation. I was able to lift my eyes above man and see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he let me taste him that morning. And still, he is good. Amen, he's good. God is good. In the midst of all of our clouds, God's good. I woke up the next morning and it was all over. You know what I found? Wasn't no Ted Cruz by my bed. There wasn't no Donald Trump by my bed, thank God. See, that mercy, that fresh batch of mercy was right there that he promised me. Every day of my life, son, I get up and I find the mercies of God. You hear me? You say, what is that? Man, that's the goodness of God, friend. That's the goodness of God. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm telling you, Amber, I should have woke up that morning in hell. I should have woke up in hell. I should have woke up in hell. But mercy rejoiced against judgment. And God showed me mercy and give me a good life. Amen. Sir, friend. Goodness of God. Here's what Peter said. Talking about the goodness of God. That's what we're drawing from. The word of God's his goodness, ain't it? Peter said this, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. How's that help me? Because he goes on to say, if so be ye have tasted, the Lord is gracious. Amen. I'm going to tell you why I get up in the morning. I want to read my Bible. Not because I'm a good person. Not so I can come to church and tell you I did so. But when I got saved, John, the God of heaven put a desire inside of me for the precious word of God. There's a desire inside of me. I didn't work it up. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes, church, I can pick up that Bible and it don't mean a thing to me. I don't draw anything from it. But that don't discourage me from not coming back tomorrow. I want to pick it back up tomorrow because I know somewhere in there God's going to turn a light on and bless me out of that book. Sure. I'm going to get something every time I pick it up. I'd be lying if I said I did. Here's what we do. We know that God is faithful. And we just keep on keeping on, son. I'm telling you, sooner or later, God's going to get, he'll throw you a little nugget out there. Amen. About all I can handle. It's about all I can handle. If I don't grieve the Spirit of God, I can take that nugget and run 10 miles with it. You hear me? I can drain that thing dry, friend, if I don't grieve the Spirit of God. Grieve the Spirit of God, he might throw something my way and I just kindly throw it aside and look for something else. Grieve his Spirit, he ain't holding on me a thing. But I'm telling you, bud, God's good. You say, preacher, how have you tasted the goodness of God? Because the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And then not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. You hear that? That's the goodness of God, friend. I tasted it in my new birth. I tasted the goodness of God in salvation. I tasted the saving faith of Jesus Christ. Yeah, thank God for a mama that gave me that good old American faith. Thank God for a home that, yes, and I mean that, friend. Don't you ever take that light. I said it before, I'll say it again, some of the difference between us and that crack gal down there on Trade Street is the homes that we was raised in. Somebody loved us, somebody cared, somebody carried us to church, somebody helped us. Most of them never had nobody. The grace of God. For by grace, John, I,
Mama carried us up out of the temple, and
we had them flannel graph boards, and they'd put little Joshua figurine on that flannel graph board, and that's a little old snotty-nosed, mean-tailed youngin. I'd look at that little image on that flannel graph board, and son, in my head, I believed in Joshua. Do you hear me? Thank God for the day that Jesus passed by and took that faith of mine and gave me His faith and put it here instead of here and passed me from death unto life, friend, and made me a new creation in Jesus Christ. That's how I tasted the goodness of God. That's how I tasted it. I believe if you go to hell, you'll be as every other sinner there. I believe every sinner in hell has seen the grace of God. Are you listening? I believe every sinner in hell has seen the grace of God. Sure, I believe that. Why so? Because the Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to who? All men. Tell you something, sinner man, the grace of God's been good to you in your life. Saved or lost, it doesn't make no difference. The grace of God has been good to us. God has been good to this people. That's right, friend. If you go to hell, you're going to go to hell just like every other sinner there. I believe every sinner in hell seen the grace of God. You must understand that God is good to everybody. What was that verse we read the other day out of Psalms 145, 9? What does the Bible say? Psalms 145, 9. The Lord is good to who? All. Not just the saved folks. He's good to all. Every person ever been born on planet Earth, God has been good to them. That's what David's talking about this morning, buddy. He said, taste and see that the Lord is good. He said, taste and see that the Lord is good. I had some thoughts in there, Steve, about Brother McVeigh's message on the anatomy of the fool. Y'all remember he preached on that anatomy of the fool that week? Something don't feel right. Something don't look right. Something don't smell right. Something don't sound right. Something don't taste right. I'm telling you, friend, this old world will leave a bitter taste in your mouth. I'm telling you, bitter waters and sweet waters don't proceed out of the same fountain, Zach. If you'll walk in the Spirit, thank God, out of your belly shall flow them sweet fountains. You hear me? And I'm telling you, you can taste the Lord. Then you can see. Once you taste Him, you'll have an understanding. Once you have a taste, you'll go, my God, that's it. Nothing like it. Nothing like the sweet taste of God. Friend, it's good. Do you hear me? The book of Job said that God gave us a mouth so that we could taste the difference between good meats and bad meats, J.D. Boy, I tell you, I like a good old fat ribeye steak. Hallelujah. I love a good fatty ribeye steak. If they bring one out to me, I just kind of poke that thing because I can tell by touching it what it's like. Job said, God gave this. You hear me? The steakhouse didn't do that for me. God gave me a mouth to enjoy the good taste of that piece of meat. Yeah. God did that for me, friend. I'm telling you, God's good, ladies and gentlemen. God's good about everything in our life. God was good to the drunks last night. Do you hear me? God was good to the drunks on the street last night. God was good to those that were shooting dope last night. God was good to those ladies of ill repute last night. You hear me? I'm telling you, God was being good to them people. God's good to everybody. All the time. God's good to the religious man. Boy, he's the most damnable of them all. And then God's good to the saint, without a doubt. Don't you ever forget that it's not Christians that grow gardens alone. Are you listening?
My grandpa raised about 5 every year. It ain't just Christians that grow gardens, Zach. There's Christians that grow gardens. We like watermelons and cantaloupes and cucumbers and we like all that stuff that comes out of a garden. Hey friend, there's some real sinners out there raising gardens too. I mean, there's some real sinners that's raising the same products that we're raising in our garden. What are you trying to say? I'm just trying to say the same God that lets it rain on your garden and give you a beautiful green is the same God that lets it rain on their garden and gives them a beautiful cantaloupe. Same God. He's good to all of us, friend. He's good to the saved. He's good to the lost. He's just good to people, amen. I'm telling you, we're to bless the name of the Lord just because he's been so good to us. Preacher, you mean tell me he's good to that drunk last night? How you think that drunk took another breath? God was so good to that sucker, he gave him another breath. God was so good to her, he gave her another breath. God give her another opportunity to come somewhere this morning and get a little light shine in her heart. Yes, sir, God's good to them people. God's good to us. Somebody might wonder, why is God? Why is God? Listen, are you listening? Why is God good to the unjust? Why is God good to all them sinners? Why is God so? Because here's what Romans chapter 2 said. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So you want to know why God's good? You want to know why God's good to us? So men would repent. God said, I'm going to be good to this bunch of idiots. I mean, I shouldn't say that maybe, but I'm going to be good to this bunch of people that don't love me, that's a disgrace to my grace, these people that's going to spit on me, these people that's going to reject me. I'm going to be good to them that they might repent. Now, I'll be honest with you, John, that's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. Because I can tell you, I can get some junk going in my life, Steve. And the goodness of God will start hitting me between the eyes. And I get to thinking about how good God is to me and how good God has been to me. And I start feeling like an old leg sucking dog. And I go, man, I can't believe I'm doing the stupid junk I'm doing. I'm telling you, it makes me change my mind about the things that I'm doing. I change my mind about the direction I'm heading. And I repent unto God and get with him and get that junk right, friend. It's because of repentance. That's what the goodness of God's about. That's why David said, taste the Lord and see that he is good. Get you some of that, man. I'm telling you, if you ever do taste the Lord, if you ever do get your eyes on the goodness of God, sure it's going to bring you under that condemnation. You might want to run somewhere and repent. God help us. Listen, church, when a man by the law of God can see his wretchedness, when a man by the law of God can see his hate towards God. And boy, don't men hate God. When a man by the law of God can see the deceitfulness and wickedness of his heart. When that man can see his heart and say, oh God, truly my heart is more wicked than the devil. True God it is, my heart is more deceitful than Satan. When a man can see that, oh dear God. When a man then sees that God loves him and gave his son to die for him. It is that goodness that makes that man repent and turn to God. That's exactly what, if you got saved, friend, that's how you got saved. If you repented, that's how you repented. That's how you repented. You can't repent outside the goodness of God. You cannot repent outside the goodness of God. God has to show you his goodness. I'm telling you, that law of God's our schoolmaster. It'll snatch you up out of your lost condition. March your lost hell into God's courtroom. Slam you down and let you see yourself before a holy God. Condemned and damned before God. Worthy of hell. And then the goodness of God will show up. And God will begin to show you in that courtroom how good he's been to you. Jesus died for you. And God cares for you. How he rescues the perishing, and he does care for the dark. And out of that goodness, you go, oh God, you change your mind. That's right, when you change your mind, God will change your heart. Do you hear me? I'm telling you, when you change your mind, God will change your heart, friend. He'll put the Spirit of God in there. Put the Spirit of God in there.
We take so many times for granted the breath that we breathe. That's right. Everybody sitting in here this morning, you say, man, I lost my job, my car blew up, my house burnt down, my wife's fighting with me, my youngins are rebellious. But you stop and take time to do this. God just lets you do that. God just lets you take a breath. He give you the health that you have. Oh, help me, Jesus. I'm telling you, church, we ought to take time to thank God for His goodness. I mean, we ought to stop and take time just to reflect and meditate on the goodness of God, the things that God... There's lost people in here. You need to sit down and just really focus in on some of the goodness of God in your life and see how good God has been to you. Saved folks need to do it just as well. Need to sit down and reflect on the goodness of God. Maybe God can show us a place where we need to be. You understand that we just take our breath for granted. According to the Bible, we don't even have our breath. According to Acts, he said that we don't even have this breath within us. We don't live. According to the book of Acts, he said we live and move and have our being through Him. He's the reason I get to move. He's the reason I got up. He's the reason I can smile. He's the reason I can breathe and talk and walk. He's the reason, hallelujah, I can live my life. Outside of Him, there is none. That's just the goodness of God. There's saved folks in here. But you know what? God let us all get up this morning. Look around this congregation. God let you get up. He let everybody up in here. Everybody I done checked out. You got on some pretty fancy clothes. That's right. Nice, son. Nice clothes. Boy, think about the clothes you had 25, 30 years ago, some of you. Tough skins, holes wore out in the knee. I mean, just amazing, son. Bobo slapping up and down them gym floor. God's been good to us, friend. Yes, sir. Driving finer cars than we've ever drove, living in nice houses. Push button, ACs, heat, everything in this world. God's been good to us, Zach. God let me get up this morning. Oh, hallelujah, church. I mean, church, do you listen to me? You don't understand how good it is just to be able to get up out of that bed and walk across that bedroom floor as you please and go sit down in that lazy boy as you please. Walk in that kitchen and fix you a cup of coffee as you please and sit down and take time for Jesus. Man, that's the goodness of God, friend. I'm telling you, we're to appreciate that. We're to reflect on that. God's good to us, church. Say, folks, God let us get up this morning. Put on these fancy clothes. Hop in a nice car. Go to a church where the pastor loves you. I love you. I can look every one of you in the eyes and I can tell you I love you. It's not a problem. I don't have a hang up. And by the way, you got a pastor that loves you. Did I tell you that? And in less than 32 days, he's got a nice birthday coming up. Amen. Don't forget that, the birthday. Then I mentioned you got a pastor that loves you and he's got a birthday coming up. Don't forget that. Listen to what Luke 12:48 says. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes, you said something about this in Sunday school, Zach, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more. I don't know everybody's heart. But I know everybody in here pretty decent. I know some of you better than others. John, I believe I could be safe to say and speak for everybody, Zach, that God's been good to everybody sitting in this building. God's been good to you. God has been good to us. Everybody. I don't know why the Holy Ghost has brought this to my attention twice.
But I just want to stop for a second and be obedient to me. I want you to stop and just look around. Look in your arms, son. Look to your right, to your left. Look in front of you, look behind you. We're a people that has somebody that loves us. There's somebody that prays for you. Look at your children. Oh, God's been good. Look at your spouse. Oh, God's been good. I tell you, these people in here that loves you, I pray to God, and I hope that I'm saying this right, but I think y'all love each other. I really do, Zach. I think there's no animosity, no malice, no nothing in your heart. I think you pray for these people and love these people. I do. I think my mama sitting here loves people sitting up in here and prays for people. Listen, church, that's a good thing. God's been good to us. Do you know how many people sitting in a world this morning is contemplating suicide? They can't look around nowhere and find anybody they think that loves them. Do you know how many people has held a gun to their head just this weekend and thought, I'm just going to end it all because nobody cares. No man cares for my soul. There ain't, mama don't understand. And the devil said to her, yeah, get it, son. Get it, son. Get it, son. God's been good to us. God's been good to us. We got somebody that cares. We got somebody that loves us. Boy, I'm telling you what, just like David said, if you can look on your right hand and not see anybody or to your left, I'm telling you, there's still a God in heaven that loves you and cares for you. I'm telling you, He cares for your soul. Nobody ever cared for you like Jesus. I'm telling you, He's the greatest friend you'll ever know. He's the friend that's sticking closer than a brother. He'll love you at all times. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Friend, He's good to us. You hear me? You know why He's so good to us? Because He wants us to repent. He put that stuff in your life. He put them children there, them families there, these people there, so you can see, taste, and see that the Lord is good. And oh God, He's so good to me. I just want to live for Him. I want to live for Him. I want to live right and clean and holy. I want my life to be pleasing unto Him. You say, why, preacher? Because He's so good to me. Boy, I don't want to displease Him. You hear me? It is the hardest thing in this life for me to do, to take somebody that's good to me and spit in their face. Friend, if you're good to me, I want to please you. I want to help you. Son, ain't nobody ever been good to me like Jesus. I just want to please Him. You hear me? If my life ain't pleasing to Him, not happy with it. Just not happy with it. I'll quit. I'll wrap this up. Hebrews chapter 6 says this. It's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the what? Good Word of God. That's right. You've tasted the good Word of God today. Sure you have. And the powers of the world. David said this, His word is sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Isn't that a blessing? Psalms 119:103 says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Him sweet waters flowing out. You hear me? That's the Spirit of God. Amen. As a man thinketh, so is he. Amen. I'm telling you, church, you get some Spirit of God in you and you get to live and clean and holy and let God just get up in you. I'm telling you, that sweet water will flow out of your mouth. Sweet taste. You know what it is when you get up in the morning, you sit down with Jesus? It's a sweet taste. Hallelujah. When you get to chewing on the precious Word of God. Do you know what the Lord told Ezekiel? God told Ezekiel. He said, Ezekiel, take this roll. Take this roll. Talking about the Word of God. Take this roll and eat it, Ezekiel. I'm going to tell you what I want you to do when you eat it, son. I want you to set forth and I want you to tell the people my words. Hallelujah. Ezekiel said, Lord, your words are sweeter than honey. That's what Ezekiel said. He said he ate that roll and the Lord's words were sweeter than honey. I'm telling you, but the Word of God is good. Amen. Hey, the reason, Zach, sometimes that's so foreign to some of us is because we just don't read the Word of God. Man,
Oh, church, let me challenge you. If you don't do anything else out of this thing, get in the Word of God. Get you a time to sit down with Jesus. Hey, man, sit down with the Lord Jesus and read your Bible, friend. I said it last week. I'm going to say it again. He was dinner at your house this morning. Jesus Christ was sitting in there at your house this morning before you ever got to church. Did anybody care to get up and sit with him? Did you care to get up and go sit at his feet for a while? I mean, church is a nice show. It's a good thing to do. It's good to be faithful. But I'm telling you, bud, I believe in that secret place. I believe in getting along with God. How sweet is the Word of God to you? I'm going to cut it off. How sweet is the Word of God to you? It's a good question to end with. I'm not finished, Steve. I'm just going to cut it off. How sweet is the Word of God to you? Is it sweet? Huh? Well, I'll tell you, if you ever taste the Lord, you'll see. There's sinners in here. And the Lord has given you a taste. He's letting you see His goodness. Letting you see the goodness of God in that one. What is the goodness of God in that sinner's life? You hear that Macedonia call one more time. You have the gospel light, the light of the gospel shine in your heart one more time. You have another opportunity to hear the Word of God. Son, that's the goodness of God in your life. Sure it is. God just being good to you. I like what old Sammy says. I don't know who it is that says it, but he said, made that comment, that he didn't believe anybody would hear the gospel twice until everybody's heard it at least once. I said, man, huh?
Oswald Smith.
Oswald Smith said he don't believe anybody would hear the gospel twice until everybody's heard it. Well, how about that? We get to sit in here week in, week out. Week in and week out, and just soak up the goodness of God. And these people all over America, listen to me. I'm telling these people, I ain't talking about Africa. I'm talking about America. Can't get the truth this morning. In Baptist churches all over America, they can't get the truth. They can get tickled. They can get scratched. But they can't get the light of the glorious gospel shining in their heart. God help us to recognize the goodness of God. I tell you, I believe this church with all my heart, if we ever do taste and see the goodness of God, it'll drive us to a place of holy repentance. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for the precious Word of God. We do thank you, Lord, that we can count on it. I was thinking earlier, Lord, and I didn't get to finish it, but when Jesus was on that cross, and he cried, "It is finished." Dear God, we want to thank you for the atonement work. We want to thank you, Lord, for the goodness of God in that atonement. Help us, Lord. I pray that you'd bless the food that we're about to eat. Thank you for these ladies that prepared it. Help us, dear God, to use it to nourish our bodies and use our bodies for your honor and glory and your service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.